but for the Holy Ghost. Y'all go ahead and relax. I'm just having some church by myself here. Praise the Lord. Go over to 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel, that's in the Bible. It's over there kind of in the front. It's right before 2 Samuel. Praise the Lord. Hi, Bobby. So I got some news. I think we're real close to getting another church member in a few days. I think Cherie's really close. So little Elijah's going to get here. Also, I want y'all to be really, when you come to the wedding on Saturday, okay, so be really, really nice to Kendrick. Okay, be really, yes, see, prophesy. Be really nice to him because I sure do hate to see this young lady leave. I understand she has to leave, you know, to go be with her husband, but he could come here because a man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife so we can have church. Praise the Lord. All right. But we do. We bless you, Paige. Thank you so much for bringing such joy and your strength and your gifting to us. And we know that it'll carry on wherever you live. All right. Samuel replied. Now this is going to sound like it's in the middle of something, but we'll get there. Okay. Samuel replied. Now y'all know who Samuel is. Okay. What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Now, Israel begged for a king. God wanted to be their king, church, but they wanted a man like other nations. So God sent Samuel the prophet to find Saul, he's a Benjamite, make him king, anoint him as king. And then he was anointed and he came into some things and he was doing okay. And then some time passed and God sent Samuel back to him with some instructions. Here's the instructions, 15:2, 1 Samuel 15:2. Says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I've decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Wow, God settles accounts. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Now that sounds hard, but you just have to understand some things to get that. And that's not where we're going today, but that's what he was supposed to do. Do all of this. So Saul went out to do the job, but when he got there, he did part of the job, but then he made a decision. He made a decision to do something that he thought was better than what God told him to do. So verse 9 says, Saul and his men spared Agag's life as king and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Now, so see, they said, okay, we're not going to just get rid of everything. We're going to keep the good stuff. Because, I mean, those cattle look pretty good. They look pretty good. And maybe we shouldn't kill him. So he just started deciding on his own. Okay. Then God said, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king. For he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. So Saul carried out some of the plan, but then he didn't carry it all out. Excuse me. He decided he knew better than God. Now, who do you know that decided to be better than God? Satan did. Lucifer did. He said, I will ascend. I know better. I'm going to get above God and y'all need to pay attention to me. And then here again, we see that Saul followed that same thing. So what happened to Saul? He lost his anointing and eventually David became king. Amen. Thank you, Jesse. Now, so tonight we're going to talk about seven things you can do to guarantee your success in any area. Okay? Seven things that you can do to guarantee your success in any area. Number one, don't be Saul. Don't be Saul. Don't be like Saul. Don't do what you think is best. Mm-hmm. Do what God thinks is best. You know, so we're walking with God. We get the plan. Like, we're getting a lot of plans right now. And we get the beginning, but then we could start rationalizing. Well, I believe the Lord told us to give, this looks too hard, or this would be more fun, or this is not, you know. And so instead of following him, the good steps of a man are ordered the Lord. We'll get down the path, and then we'll go, I think we better do this. Or someone will say something to you, or you get discouraged or whatever, so you decide to come up with a lighter plan or something, because it might just be too hard. I can't tell you the people that have come to me over the years and told me, I felt like God wanted me to do this, but the man of God told me no. They said it would be too hard for me. Or lots of people over the years have told me that, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. Your leader does need to see something in you. They need to recognize the gifts in you. But God's the promoter. And so he will find a way to get you where you need to go. And so you don't have to back down because the first person says no. You know, there's that doctrine of doors. Well, if the door doesn't open, then God's locked the door. That's not scriptural. Sometimes you got to push the door open by your faith. Kick it down. There's nothing that says when you get right to the door, just because you thought it was, you know, God told you to do this, you get to the door and it won't open. So you go, must not have been God. Must not have been God. But actually, it must have been you. You probably didn't follow through on something or blah, blah, blah. But the doors don't matter. You can get through the doors if you keep your faith in the right place and continue to do what God called you to do. Amen. So, you know, someone who calls themselves the father of many nations, you know, that really didn't make too much sense when you're old and barren. Or giving your last cake to the preacher, that didn't seem like it'd make too much sense too. Or what about you're going to try to feed 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner? That doesn't sound very smart either. But the truth is, if you just go with God, he's got a way for these things to break through. Amen? So don't do what you think is best. Do what God thinks is best. There's going to be good ideas, and they're okay, but God ideas are way better. And I'm telling you, he'll help you navigate the path. Now, number two, get rid of fear. 1 Samuel 17:11 says that Saul and Israel were afraid of Goliath. Goliath was making a lot of noise. David was not afraid. The rest of Israel, they were afraid. Fear is faith perverted. It's the same sense, the same, they call them reciprocals, because they're not exactly opposites. They work the same, but they're on different ends of the spectrum. Because faith brings God on the scene, fear brings Satan on the scene. I know somebody in here saying, why is she teaching this? We know this. Well, evidently you need to hear it again, because I've heard some things come out of some mouths around here. And so I think we need to do this. Praise the Lord. All right. So, you know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So there's no, we have a fountain of faith. We have a fountain of faith. That fear is coming from the outside. Is it real? Yeah. Is it an influence? Yeah. Does it get in the soul? Yeah. It bothers your soul. But you can get rid of it when you know that the one that made the universe loves you, it covenants with you, sees you, hears you, feels what you're going through, and has the way out. Every time he has the way out. He's just covered you like a blanket, church. and you're wrapped up in this little blanket, and it's just so good, and you can just be real comfortable in him because that blanket has a covenant in it. And he said that everything that he is and that he has belongs to you. And everything that I have and I am belongs to him. Amen. So he's got you in this. You don't have to be in fear. Ephesians 3 says that God desires for us to have a revelation of love. And I think this is where some of the church probably didn't go out far enough, but everybody's working on it. We're to know how deep, how wide, what's the length, what's the breadth of God's love, right? You know the scripture. But I think what happens is a lot of people just look into their love walk. How do they treat other people? And they almost make that love walk, they make that love walk the deciding factor whether they're going to get blessed or not. Come on. Yeah. I have to love people. So God will love me. But really and truly, it's knowing him, knowing his love, understanding him. If you know how much he loves you, you can love people. But you have to know how much he loves you first. You have to know that God is love. You're not earning God's love by loving people. That isn't even in you. You have it flowing through you. And so knowing how much he loves you is going to change everything. You should just practice all the time saying, the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. He can't help himself. He just loves me. You should think like that. You should feel that because he really does love you. He adores you. He wants to spend time with you. Amen. And so this love, when you get love like that, it casts out fear. When you understand covenant, it'll cast out fear. If you know the biggest one of the universe is on your side, you're not afraid of anything. You plead the blood and go on. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to do things. You're not afraid to attempt things. You're not afraid of losing. You're not afraid of failing. You're not afraid of being a victim. God's got you. Amen. He loves you. He's on your side. So, you know, I grew up with two big brothers, and particularly one of them was always there for me. And so he's the one that taught me to love the horses and everything. But when you have a big brother, like I had a big brother, the only challenge was being able to walk fast enough to keep up with him. And he's a real long-legged cowboy, and I just had to run to keep up with him. But I felt safe with him. I felt safe with him all the time. Well, you got a big brother. You got a big brother. You don't have to fear about anything. And listen, if you're in here and you're over 50 and you got some little creaks going on here and there, the enemy will try to tell you it's going to kill you. You're not going to die. You're all right. That's the enemy trying to say, well, you're getting all worn out now. You might. No, no, no. And I know even young folks feel like that sometimes. I just feel like the devil's trying to kill me. If he could kill you, he already would have. You're all right. You're going to be all right. You're not going to lose. Get that losing mentality out. Don't have any fear of it. And listen, don't have any fear of success either. Some people fear success. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Number three, be a David. Be a David. Be obedient. God requires obedience. You know, I think sometimes with the grace message, that may have fallen off a little. Some people just say, well, I just do anything I want to because I know I'm saved and I'm good and God loves me anyway. No, there's an obedience requirement. The Bible teaches us that. We're to be obedient. Why? Well, the same reason why you're obedient to that GPS. It takes you to where you want to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's not doing it because he needs an ego fix. Y'all need to obey me. He's doing it because he knows the best way. You know, if you're going down a certain lane, you're going to ask the professional, the one who knows the best. Now, how should I handle this? Well, can I tell you he knows everything? Amen. And so, you know, it says in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you be willing and obedient, You shall eat the good of the land. You're going to eat the good of the land. If you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. It'll be in your pathway. You know, if you obey Jesus, you're going to walk in his anointing. And he said this, the works I do, you'll do. You'll do them too. Amen. So obedience is still good in the grace age. Amen. The New Testament talks about us obeying truth. So we obey the Holy Spirit. When we have promptings, we obey. We were praying here yesterday, and something came out of my mouth, and I just said it and had no idea what it was. And then Miss Joy got up and told us exactly what I was talking about. And so, well, we're not going to quit on that either, by the way, even though it looks like we took a loss there. We're not quitting. We'll keep praying about it. But just the little things that you hear, pray for so-and-so. Do that. Just smile at them. Walk over there to that. Make sure you show up here today. Do this way. Use that wrench on that. Do this over here. Buy that car. Live like this. All of those, take this class. Do that. All of those things will get you to where you want to go. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you want to be a David. You want to be obedient. Number four, remember past deliverances. Not the past failures. Forget them. Forget it. Leave them behind. Don't let past failures be bigger than the promises. God promises. Certainly we've failed, but we're not stuck there. See, you know, things happen sometimes. Sometimes we make bad decisions, but don't stay there. Sometimes things happen because of other people or just because we live in a dark, but don't stay in that place. Don't stay in a dark place. Come on out. Think about all the good things that happened. I'm going to bring a letter for you to listen to that I got in the mail. I got it a while back, but I haven't brought it to you yet. But it's a man who's in prison. And he found Kenneth Copeland. They sent him a magazine from Kenneth Copeland. And an article about me was in it. Y'all remember last year? And there's a story in it about a big tractor. And it changed his life. He got excited about the big tractor. I mean, think about that. So if the big tractor has pushed me and Deb way down the road, but if that big tractor pushed that one man and he got a hold of it by that happening in our lives because we obeyed God. I wish y'all could see the picture of this building. I'll have to put it on the screen. We have one somewhere. This is just a little old bitty. It was an old store when I was a little bitty kid. Because I lived in that same area. My uncle lived in that area. So I was running around barefooted all over this little bitty town. And then so we had actually ended up back there. But the Lord just said, I want you to have a school of ministry in that building. Remember, Debbie? And we had it right down the street. And we had some other friends that lived there. And so it was just natural to us to obey God and start trying to mow the thing. So see, just start. Just start and keep your future going. Keep thinking about your future. Well, that didn't work. Well, that didn't work. Well, you remember what Edison said? He said, what, 900 and some odd times he just found a new way to do something. He didn't say they were failures. You just keep moving forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't give up on your dreams, church. Keep your eye on the promise. Look at all the success you've had. And listen, hearing is the biggest factor in changing the course of a person's life. Did you hear me? Hearing is the biggest factor in changing a person's life. When I heard that God was good, it tracked me all the way through my life's purpose, right? If you can hear something and begin to get revelation of it and it starts getting in your heart, you can move forward. You can move forward. Hearing and hearing and hearing is the most important thing you'll ever do. Amen? Amen. And so you need to hear yourself. And you know what you need to hear yourself saying? I got the lion and I got the bear. And I'm taking down this uncircumcised giant too. Amen? Amen. Every time. Did God get you out of debt one time? He'll get you out of debt again. Did God save you from this? Did God heal you from this? Did God make you win over here? Did God push you forward? Do you have something, a story you can tell? If you have a story or a testimony you can tell of how God changed your life, then you're going to have many more. So think about the victories that you've already had. That's what David spoke those that day. And then he went out and let me tell you something. Saul didn't make David king. Goliath made David king. Goliath made him king. And so whatever it is, whatever's the next thing, whatever's coming for you for the next thing, just remember how God's already moved and done all these great things. He'll do it again. It's a good thing to have a board meeting with yourself and start thinking about all the things that you did, because last year we had some tough stuff. There's a lot of personal tough stuff around us, and we were dealing with a lot of stuff, and some of our loved ones going home, and just different things going on. There were different things happening around here, and real busy with that. And so we just one day, I think, I heard Brother Copeland say he had a hard year. It's unusual to even hear him say something like that. But I told Deb, I said, I know how Brother Copeland felt. 24 was, whew. And then I said, but wait a minute. Let's have a board meeting. And we started counting all the good things that happened, all the good things that happened, all the good things that happened, everything that was good. Who did this? What did that? How this turned out. And you know, it was a better year than what we thought. So you got to stay on that path. If things get rough, go back and think about that. You know, if you have to lay in your bed and go, I know I can count five people who do love me, who do like me. You can count Jesse loves me, Larry loves me, Debbie loves me. You know, if you got to do that, do it. But say something to yourself. Don't just lay there and get miserable and go, everybody hates me and I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't ever have any success and I'm broken, I'm poor and I'm busted. And if you start going down that path, that's where you're going to end up. Way down the road. But if you'll say no to that, if you'll cast down those imaginations and move forward, you're going to have success. But I want to repeat once again, it's in the hearing. You need to hear messages like this where you get pumped up. You know what they said about me in San Marcos? He was one of my friends, but he told people around town, he said, she's just trying to give people hope. And the person who he said it to said, well, brother, what else would she want to do? Of course she's trying to give people hope. Because they don't want to hear that. Negative people don't want to hear the positive message. They don't want to hear that we're winners, that we're victors. They want us to be miserable because God is trying to teach you a lesson. The only trouble that ever taught me a lesson was when I turned to God in the trouble and He taught me the lesson. If you're going to fall back on that, I'm so glad I went through it all. You better add this to it. I'm glad I went through it all because I chose God in it and got me out, because God didn't do it. And God didn't start those fires. And stop saying that's judgment. Now, it may be a harvest, but it's not Him judging it. If you want to call it that, you'd have to say the system of the big L-O-R-D, the word, because of seed time and harvest, things like this happen. You know, if you light a match and set something on fire, there's a harvest. Y'all know what I'm saying? God doesn't want all those people suffering. Yeah, but there's a lot of bad people out there. Oh, no, there's not. No, there's not. There's a lot of good people out there. A lot of good people. There may be some ignorance, but there's a lot of good people. And there's just as much ignorance everywhere around the world. I declare in the name of Jesus, I speak the blood of Jesus. I call the fires out in Jesus' name. I call for the mercy of God in Jesus' name. Yeah, you could say that right here when we went through the hailstorm and the snowmageddon. No, what happens is things get so far out that the devil can get in. Yeah, that's right. That's what happens. You have not experienced the wrath of God. It will exterminate like you've never seen, but you're never going to, says Thessalonians. All right. All right. Where are we? We are on number four. No, number five. Speak to the mountain. This is old to y'all, but it's new. You need to keep it in you. Speak to the mountain, not about it. Discussing your problem over and over sows the problem seed back into your heart. And then your heart will produce a hundredfold return of that. If you keep saying, I don't know why I keep losing. I don't know why this keeps breaking. I don't know why this isn't working. This just isn't working. I just don't know why. You'll talk yourself right into more trouble. You have to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And all these things that I'm telling you right here, we've known all this for years. But did you know, just me hearing it right now gets me excited all over again. Because this is what I need to know every day, every hour, all the time. We need to know this. And starting in this season, we need to know these things. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to absolutely talk to the mountain. David spoke to Goliath. Do you remember that? You remember that he did? And listen, who is the high priest of your confession? Jesus is. A high priest manages things. Jesus will manage your words. But Jesus can't manage your cussing, your fear, your doubt, your worry. He can't manage that because it's not in him. He can't do that. Now, he feels for you. He loves you. He wants you to get through it. But he can't take those words and sow them into the kingdom of God. The enemy will sow those into his kingdom. Those kind of words, which are things, Devar, they go straight into the enemy's camp when you say it. They do. So if you keep doing that over and over and over, if you keep saying, well, you know, I don't know how they all do it, but I'll just have to just get my check, and I don't know how we can ever do this, and no, that's what you're going to have. That's what you're going to have. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Yes. Give him something to carry out. You remember what Jesse said? Jesse said, give God a job.
Yeah, amen.
He wants to. He wants to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So he can't carry out the death cycle because it's not in him. But if you're poor and sad and miserable and blaming God, he can't carry that out. He can't do it. And here's another thing too. Psalm 103:20 says that the angels hearken to the voice of what? The word. And so they can't help, without you speaking correctly. You have to give them something to say. Just like, how many of you have employees? Anybody in here have employees? Okay. So if you don't tell them what to do, they don't know what to do. But angels are on a certain channel. They're on a channel. They're on the spirit channel. They're on the word channel. So you can't tell them, well, fellas, I don't know. Looks like defeat here. I'm not going to prosper this time. And they'll cross their arms and stand there. But if you say, nope, that's not happening. That's not how it's going to be. I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I call for angelic help in the name of Jesus. I declare I'm prosperous. I declare I'm victorious. I declare I'm healed. I declare, and you begin to say who you are, decree who you are. It will be established and God will light your path. Angelic forces are working. Man, if you go over and read James 5, you're going to find out that they're the ones who go after the money that's owed to you right now that you have sown. And the enemy tries to keep that those finances back from you. But if you say something, they're already looking for you. They're looking. Your wages are looking for you. Remember when you got in the pool? Marco Polo. Remember? That's what you got to play with them. You got to say, I'm a money magnet. And that probably made somebody mad out there. But I'm telling you, don't write me any ugly letters. I believe that the motivation for accumulation is distribution. And right now, because I'm a money magnet, there's a roof going on a church in El Salvador. That's right. And I'm not ashamed of that. Well, prosperity preacher. I am. I am. I believe you should be prosperous. That's interesting because Father Abraham believed that. Isaac believed that. Jacob believed that. Joseph believed that. Jesus believed that. Everybody down the line believed that. Except the religious people. It doesn't mean we're hoarding it all up on ourselves. It means we've learned to be givers. Praise the Lord. All right, what number are we on? Six, act when opportunity arises. Act when opportunity arises. 1 Samuel 17:48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. He was ready to go. You want some of me? That was what he's saying. He's saying, you're coming out here bragging like all this? I'm going to take your head off. Because you know what he meant when he said that unsized, circumcised Philistine's going down? What he meant by that is, you're just like an animal. You're like the lion and the bear. You don't have a covenant. I have a covenant. I'm circumcised. That's what David's saying. And he's saying, I have a covenant. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Well, every one of us here are circumcised hearts. We have a covenant with Almighty God. And so we can run. When you get an opportunity, run. Run toward it. You see a door opening? Run in there. You see a way to do something, run in there. You see an opportunity. And listen, you're spirit-filled enough to know whether you're just doing that out of your flesh or not. Watch for those spiritual doors to open. Amen. You gotta know when to say something and when not to say something. But opportunity is coming. And can I tell you, I prophesy to you right now, like never before, opportunity is coming. Never before. Even the dark side's coming to the light side right now in so many ways. I saw the most amazing thing today, that the FDA has decided that red dye number 3 is bad for people. I'm like, you think? That's like, we might as well get in front of the parade on this. Everybody, you better drink your Hawaiian punch pretty quick, because Hawaiian punch is going to be brown next time you see it. I don't know if y'all know that, but in Europe, the Gatorades and all that kind of stuff, they don't have the bright colors. When you look in the cases, they're all really chilled down because they don't allow that kind of stuff. And they're way more healthier there. And I know more about Italy than the other places, but it was like that also in Switzerland. But they just don't allow. A lot of that stuff is against the law. This is not part of my sermon at all, but I hope you enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so listen. Jesus called the woman bowed over for 18 years to come forward. She had to act. And so he gave her opportunity to act. You're going to find out that God is going to give you opportunities to act in this next season. Just don't get your head down and be so busy that you miss them, church. You're going to have to be watching for them. You can't be so going through the grocery store so fast that you don't see the person you need to say hello to. Or get going through life like we have a joke. The staff has a joke. Get out of my way. I'm trying to do my ministry. You know, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so, you're going to have to be looking. You're going to have to get your eyes up and look. Things are happening. You could hear something in the spirit. And you can even hear warnings that would keep you from doing something. Just think about the little girl that told her dad, I want a sandwich from wherever the place was, and they didn't go into the Twin Towers that morning. Saved her life. God gave her a little desire for that little sandwich, and daddy answered her desire, and it saved both of their lives. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. That's why we have to be alert. That's why we have to be alert all the time. All the time we have to be alert. That's why the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know something you might want to know about that? Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. This is what people say that it means. This is what they say that it means. I get tickled about it. Don't get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you what it really means. So they think it means, well, that means only have a little. That's not what that means. This is what it means. It means don't start drinking wine because it will lead you into drinking more. That's what that scripture actually says. I know some of y'all don't like that, but you just had to love me anyway. You can ask Jesus about that. Amen. All right, y'all can come back on the amens now. So don't be so busy rocking back and forth from fear and faith that you can't make progress. Move forward. When doubt comes in, cast it out quickly and take your opportunities. And number seven, see it all the way through. See it all the way through. What's it? Victory? See your victory all the way through. Deliverance, healing, blessing. Listen, when you're quoting your healing scriptures and you're starting to feel better, don't stop. Amen. Affliction shall not arise a second time. Yes. Don't stop. Keep moving forward on them. If funds are starting to come in and you're happy with an extra $1,000 a week, man, don't stop. Yeah. You can get more, which take care of your grandchildren's college or whatever you want them to do. Amen. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We need to think way beyond ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You believe that? So see it all the way through. You're going to win if you won't quit. I want to say something to you. I want to back up on something because it just came to me right now. Something worth mentioning. When we were talking about speaking to the mountain, I know you guys can just roll backwards for just a minute. I want you to hear something very clearly because the Lord put this on my heart even after I had written this word and I added it. And so I want to go back to, this was under the number five, but I want to go back here. I want to talk to you for real quick as we're finishing up because I only have like three more sentences. Your authority, okay? Now I want you to understand something. The believer's authority. You have authority in the earth. You have dominion over plants and animals and everything, but you don't have dominion over people. Now, you have habitational authority. For example, you have sons. Okay, while they were growing up, you have authority over what you say over them. You have authority over the children in your house. You have some authority in this town. You have authority around your area. You have habitational authority. But this kind of prayer won't work. Devil, get off all the people in the world. That is harmful. Let me tell you why. People have to want to get delivered. You don't cast spirits out of people that don't want to get rid of them. Because the Bible says seven more will come back in. So, but here's what you can do. You can bind the spirits. But everybody has their own will. You can bind a spirit when you're going into Thanksgiving or whatever, or going in a store. You can bind the spirits. But every human being has the right to make their own choices. And if they're going to do tarot cards and all the other junk, that's their choice. If they're going to worship a different God, that's their choice. But you have an authority, but you need to learn to use it correctly. You need to learn to use it. Your children, yes. Your family, yes. This church, yes. The people around you, yes. The whole world, no. No. Now let me tell you how you can use your authority over other people though. If God Almighty gives you a vision or a word of knowledge and mentions someone's name to you or you see it, you have just been given authority to pray. You've just been, now look, you can pray for all men, but I'm talking about specific things. Like if the Lord says, pray for Chuck Schumer, then you know right then that you have some authority to pray. If he says, pray for Barack Obama, you can say, pray for Mr. RFK today. And he's saying it to you. Or you have a vision that you spoke about it. God's giving you the authority to speak.
Yeah.
But if you're just thinking about them, like you're watching on TV and you see dumb things or whatever that they're doing, you know, you can't just, you're not just going to change their life by, you can pray for them. You can pray for them generally. But you can't just dig in there and think that you're God. I mean, if they want to keep a demon, they will. If they want to follow the darkness, they will. But your children don't have to. You have authority over them. Amen. Well, what about your grown children? Well, I think you still have a say-so. Maybe not quite as much, but you have a say-so. You have, because that's right. They're in covenant with you. They're your blood kids. But so I just wanted to explain that to you, so you're just not launching out on things that don't do any good.
Yeah.
I think it's real important not to waste words, not to just say that. Learn to focus. Learn to hear. Learn to follow what the Spirit's saying, so that, for example, in our prayer meetings, pick up on when the person's praying, pick up on where they are in the Spirit, not just what the word meant to you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? You got to pick up on where people are when they're praying, right? Now, and different things will come to you, but if we're all praying together corporately, if I use the word the steps, well, what does that say? Somebody could be doing steps, you see what I'm saying? And so you'd want to hear from God. What steps are we talking about? Does that make sense to y'all? I just want to have a minute to tell you that. So, you know, you're not going to bind every spirit in the world. But man, where God sends you to, or what you have a vision about. Now, you are a U.S. citizen. So you have some authority to pray about the government. But you should be listening to specific words for about, like, we're going to pray for the president because the word told us to, right? The word told us to pray for leaders. So that gives you some authority. But you need to understand the line there. You need to understand, did the word tell you to? Did a word of knowledge tell you to? Did you have a vision or a dream about it? But if you're just going, that guy. Now, you can go down the road sometimes and the Lord will go, him. And then you know you have an open door. Just don't be too casual about it. Amen. Okay, I just wanted to tell y'all that. Y'all receive it? All right. There is a difference. Now, okay, so here it is. The only losers are quitters. Just don't quit. Overcome the habit of quitting because of temporary setbacks. Just because there's a setback, don't throw down the tools and leave. Don't quit just because things can turn around in the next 10 minutes. I've seen people quit and they really, really decided later they wish they hadn't. Because once you quit, sometimes you can't get back in. And I'm just speaking right now off the cuff. I don't know why I'm saying it like I'm a set, but I will tell you this. Forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness happens when people quit or do whatever. But trust is a different matter.
Right.
You have to earn trust.
Yeah.
And if you're a quitter, you're not earning trust. Amen. You got to learn to hang in there.
Yeah.
You got to learn to be strong. Amen.
Amen.
You receive that?
Yes,
okay, here they are again. I'll just tell them. If you want to have success guaranteed, do these things. Don't be a Saul. Don't make up your own mind. Get rid of fear. Be a David. Be totally obedient. Remember your past deliverances. Speak to the mountain about it, not to it. I mean, speak to the mountain, not about it. Sorry. Act when opportunity arises and see something all the way through.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all receive it?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on the word. Father, we thank you that every hearer hears it with the right ears in Jesus' name. Because if we can hear something and get revelation, we can move forward in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. And we receive our offering. Praise the Lord. If you would like to give online, you can give to this beautiful picture that will now appear as give via text message to VCHL on the Mount you want to give 73256. Click the link and you can give that way. And it's so easy and so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, brothers. Father, we ask you to bless every tither and every giver in Jesus' name. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a good day. It's a good day. We're just a few days away. Just a few days away from everything changing. And so you heard the hostage deal? Have y'all heard? Okay. We need to pray about that. I would say that it's not exactly what I would like to see, because I don't think anybody should be giving Gaza back. But we're starting. At least some people are going to go free. Amen. And I declare they're all going free. Amen. And those that need to be returned, however they need to be returned or returned. Yes. But here's the thing. We're down, right? We're off. Okay. So they're going to trade. They're going to trade Hamas army people, a lot of them, for a few. Now, it's worth it to the Israelis because they love their people. Yeah. But we need to pray that from that point that something is done, because they're building an army back already. It's already like 20,000 people back. It's ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you this. Factor in the God. Because we've just seen this. We've just seen this over and over. And we've seen this over and over just here. As soon as they made the deal, Mr. Biden got on and took the credit for it. And funny things rolling around about it. And, you know, let's make things as bad as we can for the new president. Y'all have seen all that. But you know what? God is on the scene. God is on the scene. We're going to have the best harvest we've ever had. So don't start fretting because of it. Just keep praying, because we're going to get the victories. And Israel will have the victories. And listen, here's the perfect thing. God is looking for sheep nations. And we are a sheep nation. Anybody that stands with Israel is in a good place with God. That's just how it works. That's how it works. In fact, that's number one. If you thought abortion was number one, you're wrong. Israel's number one with God. It's just the way it is. And he doesn't like babies dying either, and we don't either. But when it comes to what goats and sheep mean, the sheep nations are the ones who side with Israel. And so I declare that our people, our American people, wake up. And we can pray about that. We can continue to pray that they all wake up. Amen. So we're going to say we have covered and covered and covered the inauguration. And I believe we're going to see safety on the day. I really do. So it's going to be good. And, you know, sometimes you look at what people say and you think, are they really? Do they? But you just have to move on, because if you think the propaganda is going to stop, it's not. But we now we have a clearance in the spirit. If as long as we factor in the God factor, we're going to see a lot of that propaganda go down. Yeah. Some people are just trying to jump out in front of the parade, y'all. Yeah. Y'all know what I mean by that. Yeah. But the truth is somebody out there is still in darkness. Yes. And wants to convince people that we're all crazy. But we're not. Here's something else to pray about. There are religious people out there who are really trashing good Christian people. And they're putting it all out on YouTube and saying all kinds of stuff that is just, you know, saying that people like us are cults. And, of course, we've always had that. But It doesn't matter because we win. But we forgive them. But they need to stop coaching the ignorant. So I'm factoring in the God factor on this because the Christian people need to win. They need to come out of religion. Amen? Let's stand up. It is true. It is true. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to put your eye right on it now. I'm going to put your eye just like a guided missile. I'm going to put your eye right on it. And you're just going to fire one time and it'll absolutely work. One shot and it'll work. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 So you just in the spirit, casting your line way out there. And you're reeling it in and reeling it in and reeling it in. And it's a big catch. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Don't let go of anything that I promised you. Because it's all coming forth in the next 4 years. Things from a long, long time ago. Things that you've desired to even just know about. Heavenly things. Things in the realm. Things in the natural that you've waited and waited and waited and waited and waited for. You're going to run across the line with everything in place, everything in hand, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I'm going to position you for a miracle. If you'll take it, take the miracle. It's on the scene. In fact, it's on the scene very quickly. There's an awakening of someone around you, and it's going to be a changed life. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. The time of marvels, marvelous things are at hand. Set your spiritual eyes on the marvelous things. People coming into things they've never come into before. Healings and signs and wonders and big changes with people. Marvelous things. Set your eyes on those in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. It just almost seemed like it'd just keep going on and on and on, and every day is just every day. But even with all the wonderful miracles, there's still a little tug of every day is just every day. But that's over. There's going to be great growth, great progress, and some brand new change coming about. I would say you enjoy life, but it's going up on steroids now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your mother has already made some visits with me. You're unaware of it. But in her sleep, she's made some visits with me. So just be ready. It'll be soon. But just watch her move fearlessly and amazingly into her glory realm. I've got the place for her. She'll rest in peace and she'll move forward and she will run like an athlete on the other side. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Don't hold on to her. Don't hold on to her. She's got to run too. She's got to run too. She's going to run across the finish line. It won't be long. She's going to run across the finish line. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A brand new angel is standing beside you. A brand new angel. The Lord said, I've been your husband, and I've been true to you, and you've been true to me. And we've gone to new places over the years, but nothing like what you're about to see. There's a comfort level coming like you've never experienced. But this comfort level will not just come to you, but it will come through you. And you will watch people around you Just get pleasant and relaxed and comfortable because of the anointing that's on you. Spend a few more hours with me and watch, and you will begin to see some destiny like you've never seen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I have to come back to you. There's a man that works for you. There's a man, like a right-hand guy. There's a right-hand guy. So he needs a spiritual adjustment. And so the Lord said yes. And so, I mean, he's about to lay on the table and get a spiritual adjustment. So you have that habitational authority. Speak it over him and watch it happen in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I see a kind of a frontier outpost type feeling happening. Something like you're set up and you do what you do, but there's something bigger and grander drawing very near. And it's going to be such a testimony to the people who live around you and know you. And I just hear people saying this, good gravy. How does this guy do this? It's an amazing place. It's an anointing that's already been in you for a long time, but it's coming on you in a fresh way. I'm going to say it like this. I hear this. It's got new legs, just moving forward. Jesus' name. And those little bumps, I'll smooth them out, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your sister, the little one, the little sister. Yeah, it's time for her now. It's time for her to engage in praying in the Spirit more. And so at the perfect time, you'll deliver that to her. And when she begins to flow in that, the gifts are going to come forth. But there's gifts that are in your mother that haven't even been released. But this sister, with this sister, can break loose the whole family. For two people that agree, touching any one thing. Now, brother agrees, this sister's going to go forward in it with you, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Man, my spirit went a lot of directions with that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Just one more minute, church. Thank you, Lord. Kibadaste boso. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, pray in the Spirit. You're talking to God. When you talk to the devil, pray in English. He can't hear tongues.
That's right.
It's stealth. Yeah. He doesn't know what y'all are talking about.
Yeah.
You got to tell him in English or Spanish, whatever you speak, and he's got to get out.
Yeah.
But if you pray in the Spirit, you're praying stealth, God will interpret that for you. You will move forward like you never have before if you'll just pray in the Spirit more. And if you only have one sentence, then pray it over and over until you break through into another one.
Amen.
Because you can do it. It's so important, church. It's so important that you use that gift. God gave it. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what matters. We have to do that. We have to pray in heavenly language for two reasons. One is we're praying to stealth things, but the Corinthians says it's the ladle that you dip down for wisdom. Lord, I'm going to pray about this. And you pray about it, and then all of a sudden, English, you know what to do. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.